On Tuesday, February the 17th, a coalition of student groups, Palestine solidarity organizations, and faculty here in Montreal launched the 5th annual Israeli Apartheid Week in Montreal. This year's 5th anniversary is in the wake of Israel's horrific attacks and continued siege on Gaza. Israeli Apartheid Week is an annual international series of educational and cultural events held in cities and campuses across the globe, from Soweto, South Africa, all the way to Tulkarem in the West Bank. Its aim is to broaden public awareness about the nature of Israel as an apartheid state and to build a worldwide movement of boycott, divestment, and sanctions against the Israeli regime, similar to those undertaken against apartheid South Africa in the 1980s. Israeli Apartheid Week in Montreal is organized by a number of diverse groups across campuses, citywide, and endorsed by over 35 organizations. This year, the speakers include Leila El-Haddad, Palestinian journalist and writer Ronnie Casserles, former executive member of the African National Congress, and Omar Barghouti, founding member of the Palestinian Campaign for Academic and Cultural Boycott of Israel, as well as Soha Bashara, a former prisoner of Khiam in occupied Lebanon during the 1980s. The week-long series also includes a screening of Slingshot Hip Hop, a documentary about Palestinian youth who use hip-hop as a tool to resist apartheid. The launch of Israeli Apartheid Week here in Montreal also comes on the backdrop of repression on campuses towards Palestine solidarity organizations and those who seek to present a critical voice to Israeli apartheid. We hear from Abby Lippman, a professor at McGill University and an active member of College and University Workers United, that formed to take action against the war on Gaza this past December and to put forward the call of boycott, divestment, and sanctions amongst faculty. They launched their campaign with a letter calling for BDS, signed by over 100 professors here in Montreal.
Freedom of speech of dissidents must not be silenced by concerns that some may be upset by what they say. And it is in this spirit that over 100 of us who work at universities and colleges in Quebec have joined together as CUWU, College and University Workers United, to speak up, with our first action being the publication in Le Devoir of an open letter supporting a boycott, divestment, and sanction program directed against Israel. It's not surprising that issues about Palestine and Israel can arouse strong feelings. In fact, one would hope they will do this. How can one not feel strongly when the lands of others are seized and occupied, when blockades prevent basic needs from getting through to citizens, when UN resolutions and international laws are ignored or violated, when there is no peace and no security for anyone, when a university and numerous schools, along with offices of teachers' associations, are bombed? These arouse strong feelings. But while many other issues of concern to those who work or study at our colleges and universities also arouse strong feelings, it's mostly those related to Palestine and Israel that are singled out for special treatment, treatment that includes, among other things, restricting or preventing meetings, the pulling down of posters, the handing out of leaflets, and the carrying out of other activities of educational value. Why is shutting down criticism favored over respectfully engaging in efforts to rebut it? The restrictive and exceptional treatment appears to result from false assumptions about what might happen if these things were done, if not caricatures and discriminatory stereotypes akin to, quote, racial profiling, unquote, of those who will take part, rather than on a fair protection of free speech and assembly. and I have myself experienced this directly, having been shut down from speaking when called a self-hating Jew, a traitor, even before B'nai B'rith took out an expensive full-page ad in the National Post filled with this kind of quasi-racist language. This guilty until proven innocent position is surely not appropriate anywhere and certainly must not be acceptable in academia. I hope there will be many discussions and debates about the Middle East and about a range of controversial issues at our educational institutions. We are institutes of learning, and how better to learn than through the exchange of ideas and opinions? If universities and colleges are to live up to the standards of fairness and transparency required to ensure free and open exchanges, they might strive to foster these exchanges and cease all they do to hamper or squelch them. Educational excellence at McGill, Concordia, and all colleges and universities means pride in supporting, not fear of allowing, strong feelings and the expression of provocative ideas.
The call for boycott is part of a wider call to build awareness that Israel's policies mirror that of apartheid South Africa, Meglia told an Israeli Apartheid Week organizer at Concordia University and member of Tadamin, speaks about the similarities between South Africa and Israel in order to build awareness for the boycott.
Apartheid from the Afrikaans meaning separateness is a term used to describe South African policies of racially based segregation and domination from 1948 to 1944. The term acquired new and nationally transferable legal meaning with the 1973 adoption of the International Convention on the Suppression and Punishment of the Crime of Apartheid. Our aim as Israeli Apartheid Week organizers is to raise awareness about the nature of Israel as an apartheid state as part of a broader movement working to end Canadian governmental, corporate, and institutional support for the Israeli regime. While contemporary Canadian support for Israeli apartheid is obvious through such economic ties as the Canada-Israel Free Trade Agreement, which was signed in 1997 and expanded in 2003, as well as various provincial bilateral agreements, including the 2008 Quebec-Israel Accord and other instances of corporate investment and cooperation, it also has a long-standing historical precedent. When former Canadian Prime Minister Paul Martin stated in November 2005 that Israel's values are Canada's values, we were disturbed but not surprised. After all, Israeli and South African apartheid policies were inspired by and modeled after the Canadian Indian Act of 1876, which established isolated and economically unviable reserves for Native people on undesirable areas of land. The Act codified in law the separate legal status of Indians and Canadian citizens and restricted the movement of Native peoples who wished to leave the reserve, requiring a permit from an Indian agent. As an incipient architect of colonial apartheid, the Canadian state has not wavered from this commitment since its founding. The Indian Act system was transferred to South African apartheid in 1950, where it became the Population Registration Act, requiring all South Africans to be racially classified as black, white, or colored. All blacks were required to carry passbooks containing fingerprints, photos, and information on their access to non-black areas. Comparatively, Palestinian citizens of Israel are required to carry identity cards that classify them as non-Jewish, as well as contain other personal information. Movement and access to certain areas are denied and restricted through the use of these cards. Currently in the West Bank, Palestinians are forced to use different colored license plates that identify their place of origin and are not permitted on many West Bank roads, which have been declared Israeli only. South African apartheid was as notorious for its past laws as for the stunning fact that 87% of the land was reserved for whites. In comparison, Israel has reserved 93% of the land in Israel proper, to say nothing of the occupied territories, for Jewish development through state ownership, the Jewish National Fund, and the Israeli Lands Authority. The Bantustans that define South African apartheid have different names in the Israeli context, and of a 730-kilometer wall annexing nearly 50% of the land inside the Green Line make the geography of Israeli apartheid undeniable. In South Africa, the apartheid government deliberately starved the black population of education, health, and social services while funding services for the white minority. In 1978, the average education expenditure for black pupils was American $45 American, while it was $696 American for white pupils. Comparatively, the Israeli Housing Ministry's budget in 2002 spent about $30 per person in Palestinian communities inside Israel, compared with up to $3,250 per person in Jewish ones. With the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948, three-quarters of the Palestinian population, or over 750,000 people, were expelled. These Palestinians and their descendants are forbidden from returning to their homes and lands, making them one of the largest refugee populations in the world at nearly 5 million globally. By contrast, according to Israel's 1950 Law of Return, any person of Jewish background from anywhere in the world is able to automatically gain Israeli citizenship. It is these conditions, combined with a body of 20 Israeli laws which discriminately privilege its Jewish citizens over its non-Jewish ones, the majority of whom are Israeli Palestinians, that has led to an analysis of Israel as an apartheid state. International figures such as South African Archbishop Desmond Tutu, former Prime Minister and architect of South African apartheid Heinrich Verwoerd, Congress of South African Trade Unions President Willie Madisha, former U.S. President Jimmy Carter, and United Nations General Assembly President Miguel de Scotto, as well as numerous Israeli politicians and military officials, have all come to the same conclusion. Which brings us, as members of international civil society, to a crucial juncture. What do we do? On July 9, 2005, a United Palestinian call for a boycott, divestment, and sanctions campaign against Israel was issued and was signed by over 170 Palestinian civil society organizations. Importantly, these organizations represent Palestinian refugees in the diaspora, those living under occupation in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, and those subjugated Palestinians who hold Israeli citizenship in 1948 Palestine or the State of Israel. They called upon international civil society organizations and people of conscience to impose broad boycotts and implement divestment initiatives against Israel, similar to those applied to South Africa in the apartheid era. The goal of such activity is, above all, to end international support for Israeli apartheid and occupation, on which the Israeli regime relies heavily. Actions can range from economic non-cooperation and consumer boycott to the realms of culture, sport, and the academy in conjunction with moves toward governmental sanctions. Reading now from the 2005 call for boycott, quote, "Those non-violent punitive measures should be maintained until Israel meets its obligation to recognize the Palestinian people's inalienable right to self-determination and fully complies with the precepts of international law by 1. Ending its occupation and colonization of all Arab lands and dismantling the wall, 2. Recognizing the fundamental rights of the Arab-Palestinian citizens of Israel to full equality, and 3. Respecting, protecting, and promoting the rights of Palestinian refugees to return to their homes and properties as stipulated in UN Resolution 194," end quote. The BDS movement will continue to grow until Israel conforms to international law and basic notions of survival, justice, and dignity for the people of Palestine.
وين ما اروح بشوف حدود سجن الانساني للاطفال العالم حره وانا مالي حريه
سين سنة احنا عايشين ورا سجون البنود اللي سجنين انا ما يتغير مش حاسين ولا نور الا سياج منها احنا شايفين سما لونا ازرق غير ما ابيض.
The launch for Israeli Apartheid Week also had speakers from SPHR, Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights, and ASSE, the student union which represents over 42,000 students, and have called for boycott, divestment, sanctions of Israeli apartheid. For more information about Israeli Apartheid Week, you can go to iawmontreal.org. This was produced and recorded by Mustafa Hanawi for CKUT 90.3 FM.
وين ما اروح بشوف حدود سجن الانساني للاطفال العالم حره وانا مالي حرين
احنا بندور على السلام بين قوات حرب رواد حر معهم صرنا اولاد حرب نطلب الحريه من السجون المعنيه انه نكون معيون اللي دايما معميه